Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's National Fossil Day.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Shout out to Louis Carnesecca. And you know what, Mike? Shout out to us. We are fossils as well at this point.
We are. You know who's not a fossil? Yeah. Connor Bedard is not a fossil. Huh? 18 years old.
Now you think he's going to be that great right away? Is that right?
Tony, I don't want to go there. I'm not that quick hot take guy. I'm hoping that's my team. I'm hoping that he's great and they're great. Yes.
I'll give you another shout out. Shout out to the marketing people who put Connor Bedard against Sidney Crosby and had the highest ratings in years. I believe I had that. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Twins and Dodgers face elimination. The Niners and Cowboys are still squabbling, and Dylan Brooks does Dylan Brooksian things. But we begin today with the Texas Rangers again pounding the Baltimore Orioles, this time 7-1 and sweeping their series. The Orioles won 101 games this season. They had never been swept. Orioles manager Brandon Hyde had no hesitation, saying he saw this as a very successful season. Quote, we won 101 games. We won the East. We defied the odds. No one gave us a chance, unquote. Wilbon, do you see it as a successful season the way Hyde sees it?
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. And I'm looking at other, you know, comparables. I'm looking back a few years at the Cubs in that 2015 season when, you know, they had a great season. They get swept by the Mets in the playoffs, but they had to go out and get John Lester, right, to go with Jake Arrieta. They had to go out and buy some pitching to go with those homegrown lineups. I'm looking at the Astros. They had to go out and get Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, to go with that homegrown lineup, which we saw do damage to the whole league for several years. Part of that lineup still intact and doing damage. So, yeah, I think you have to have a run-up, and I think the Orioles had that. I think there are sane reasons to be encouraged, but yet, as long as their front office knows there's still work to be done, they're going to have to go out most likely and get some pitching, buy some pitching to go with that lineup. I think those comps, you know, should work. And yes, I said this when they were getting trashed last night. This has been a pretty darn good season for the Baltimore Orioles.
You surprised me today because you steadfastly make the point it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. It only matters what you do in the playoffs in professional sports. So I'm surprised and I'm heartened by it because I, too, believe they had a very successful season. Yeah. They won 101 games. 2 years ago, they lost 110 games. And now they won 101. Now, I understand winning the East is a bit devalued because the Orioles and Toronto and Tampa Bay went winless in the playoffs. So I understand that. But the Orioles did this without a great starting pitcher, without a great power hitter, with draftees, young kids who were draftees. And to me, they got a chance. They got a kid coming up who's Matt Holliday's son. Jackson Holliday is going to play shortstop for him. He's just a kid now. If they go out and buy a couple of pitchers, I think they'll be up here for a while. Now, spending money is important, Mike. The Texas Rangers spent money. The Texas Rangers 2 years ago lost 102 games. They spent money on Corey Seager, who just had a fantastic series. His on-base percentage was .733. They spent money on Eovaldi, who just went 7 innings, 1 run, 7 strikeouts. They spent money on Marcus Semien. I'll tell you this, Mike. Those are veteran guys. The Orioles didn't have veteran guys.
No, they didn't. It's okay.
The Texas was more prepared for this series, because they played meaningful games till the end of the season. But the Orioles had a very successful season.
And the
season.
Way the Orioles built that team, Tony, it seems to be more sustainable, especially if you look at the Houston model. The Cubs got to the playoffs a bunch of times but didn't cash in quite the way Houston did. But, Orioles should feel great. Baltimore folks should feel great about their team.
Yep.
The Twins and Dodgers could both be eliminated tonight. The Twins got pounded by the Astros last night to fall behind 2-1 in that best-of-five series. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are down 0-2 to the Diamondbacks as the series moves to Arizona tonight. So which team is more likely to stay alive? Twins, Dodgers.
I'm going to say the Dodgers, Mike, not because I believe in the Dodgers, but because I believe in Houston. And I believe in Yordan Alvarez, who now has four home runs in this particular series. Alvarez, his OPS is 2.205. They don't have a chart that goes up to 2.205. And also last night, Abreu hit a couple, And Bregman hit one out.
The lineup, it's just too good.
There's a reason that they're the defending champions, yeah, and they appear to be gathering strength like a tropical storm. I'm stuck then picking the Dodgers. And I know the Dodgers have no starting pitching. And not only that, their starter tonight, Lance Lynn, gave up more home runs than any starter in baseball, 44. And they're not hitting. So I'm banking on this, Mike, that there's muscle memory somewhere with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, who shouldn't be 1-for-13 in this series. And so, I mean, that's my only hope. I mean, I'm clinging to straws here. I really am.
Tony, guys go 1-for-13 in the postseason. Postseason is about 2-to-1 and 3-to-2. I know there have been some wild scoring games so far, you know, in this postseason. We're early in it. But you've got to pitch your way through October. You hope you get some timely hitting. I don't know that Lance Lynn, and I got an eye full of him because he was on the White Sox, where his ERA was +6, was over 6. And I don't know, in the starts he had with the Dodgers, I think there were 11 of them, it was over 4. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't bode well for Lance Lynn and the Dodgers tonight. We've talked all season about their lack of starting pitching. And so all of a sudden, you're not going to just go call in Koufax and Drysdale not walking through that door, you know, as was famously said by Rick Pitino, to borrow a line. So, Tony, I don't think either one of them gets out of tonight. I really don't. So it's not the Dodgers' time.
What I'm betting on,
and not the
if
Twins
I have
time.
To make this bet.
Okay.
If I have to make this bet, I'm betting on a 10-8 game. If it was a football bet, I'd be betting the over.
All right.
But I'll tell you this. If the Dodgers get swept, if they get swept and they become the second 100-win team to get bounced out here, unlike the Orioles, who don't have playoff experience, this will just solidify the notion that the Dodgers leak oil in the playoffs, right? Because 11 straight playoff appearances, one World Series win.
They won one.
That's like the Braves in the 90s.
Yeah, but they
that's
won
like the Braves
one
in the
recently,
90s.
Tony. They you
won
might
one.
Have to just back off that a tiny, tiny little bit for one more season.
Maybe.
One more.
We move now to fabulous verbal beef between two all-pro players, Micah Parsons and Deebo Samuel. On his podcast, Parsons took off on George Kittle's choice of T-shirt, which directly insulted Dallas. Parsons said, and I quote, "Kittle's my guy. But I'm going to say this, laugh now, cry later. We got something for that. If we see them again, just trust," unquote. To which Samuel said, and I quote, "I don't think they want to see us again. I don't know about trust. I don't think you all want to see us again," unquote. Wilbon, your head must be exploding because I know you love both these guys. Whose position are you backing in a potential rematch, Parsons or Samuels?
Here's what I've learned over the past 20-some years. After the departures of a Coach Johnson, a E. Smith, a T. Aikman, a playmaker, here's what I've learned. Don't trust the damn Cowboys. No. That's as far as this rant goes. This isn't another show with our dear friend Stephen A. It's not that show. We're not going to have on a cowboy hat and cigars and go on for weeks about the Cowboys. But I am not trusting them. I'm going to trust the Niners before I trust. And Deebo Samuel, they're part of the most electric offense in football, period. And the Cowboys are flat. They look like chumps. They look like chumps for what they've done against two meaningful opponents so far this season, when somebody took their lunch money. So I'm not trusting the Cowboys. I love Micah Parsons. I think when you look at it, I think you can say, okay, does he have the potential to follow in the footsteps of the famous Lawrence Taylor? The answer is yes, he has the potential. But they better do it when it counts, and so far they don't do jack.
Yeah, I would remind people out there that the final score of that game was 42-10, which I don't think gives the Cowboys a lot of wiggle room.
No.
At 42-10.
No.
I mean, I just don't. And if they meet again, it's going to be in the playoffs and likely in San Francisco. So it sort of feels like Micah Parsons is whistling in the wind. I understand what he's saying. I understand his anger. I understand he needs to vent. I do a podcast myself. You got to say something. And I understand he wants to believe that Dallas could beat San Francisco in a rematch. But what are we trusting? Did you see the Cowboys in that game? They gained 197 yards and they gave up 421. Their quarterback threw three picks in that game. You cannot take the position
How
that they would win a rematch.
Has it been since you could trust the Cowboys?
It's
almost 30 years. Come on.
Oh, I don't know about 30. Oh, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Huh?
Time flies when you're almost 85 years Ooh. Old. Let's take a break. Coming up, how should the Steelers' offensive coordinator feel about getting mocked at a Penguins game?
And what's the word for Dylan Brooks getting ejected not even 5 minutes into his first preseason game with his new team, the Rockets?
You know what I'm glad about in this story?
What?
These are studs yelling at each other. They're not little yappy subs like
timers.
Your boy Patrick Beverly yelling at
big
everybody.
Timers.
These are big-time players, mm-hmm. including Kittle. Big time. Yeah.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
The honorary doctor of humane letters is in the house and ready to put on a clink. And what's the word? What's first?
Steelers offensive coordinator Matt Canada should feel blank about the fire Canada chance at last night's Penguins game.
He should feel concerned. This was a hockey game. Why is the offensive coordinator's name coming up at a hockey game? Presumably, people were there to see Sidney Crosby and your boy Connor Bedard, and they start yelling out, "Fire Canada." I mean, you know, it's a hockey game. He ought to be happy that the Pirates aren't playing, or it would come up there. Now, Mike, is it fair? The Steelers have the third worst offense in the league. They average 15.8. points a game. And Kenny Pickett is struggling. I understand that. But they just beat Baltimore. They're 3-2. They're actually in first place in their division. And Matt Canada, he calls the plays. He doesn't actually run the plays. So for Fire Canada to come up spontaneously at a hockey game, what did the Canadian players on the teams think about that when they heard Fire Canada?
You never pay any attention to the Canadian players on any team. You don't even pay attention to teams from Canada because they don't get the ratings that you and your bosses would like because they don't register. Now, the word
ratings
is
matter.
My word is lucky. Matt Canada should feel lucky. They're booing him. You know why? It doesn't matter because the Roonies don't fire people after 5 weeks of a season because a bunch of fans chant something. That's not what they do. They might do that in Philly, and they might do that in Boston and New York and along, oh, wait, the I-95 corridor, but they don't do that in Pittsburgh. That family, which is one of the great ownership families the last, what, 50 years since they had that period where they won nothing under the chief for forever, now they win. They don't do that. They're not listening. Matt Canada should know that. He should walk out there if he wanted to flip the bird to the hockey fans the next game. He could do that because he's not going anywhere. He better get better. Don't get to December like this, but he's okay now. Lucky.
Boy, is that a different read from mine. What's next?
It's blank that Dylan Brooks got ejected less than 5 minutes into his first preseason game with the Houston Rockets.
It's fitting. This guy had brought this on himself. He got ejected for hitting a guy in the groin. And this wasn't his first rodeo. He got ejected, if I'm not mistaken, Mike, a few months ago in the playoffs for hitting a guy in the groin. I mean, this is pretty much what he does whenever he wants to do it. In that case, he blamed the media. Well, what does the media have to do with it? Let me give you a couple of quotes from last night. Couple of quotes. Quote, "It's weird that every time it happens to me, I get picked on. I guess it's part of reputation." You get picked on? What are you talking about? You actually did this. And the critical words there is every time.
Yeah.
Because it's many more times than once because he's a recidivist. Here's another quote. This is a better quote. "I might have tapped him below the waist, but he got right back up." Oh, sure. Well, if he got right back up, then it's no
okay.
problem.
Yeah.
Right? Then it's not a foul. Then it's okay. He's your boy. He's a piece of work.
No, he's never been my boy. Villain Brooks has never been my boy. Look, Tony, he could be valuable to a basketball team if he sort of even learned how to edit this and, you know, figure out how to be tough without being dirty, if he figured that out. But he doesn't seem to be able to do that. Here's who's going to really suffer. Because Ime Udoka, they're trying to put something together in Houston where they got a bunch of young players. They resisted trading for James Harden, and that's probably a good thing because you don't want Harden around your young players either. But rather Harden than Villain Brooks. And it's reasonable to toss his butt out of last night's game because the reputation is deserved and well earned. He has earned it. And you know what, Tony? If I was a referee in the NBA, I would walk onto the floor before a Houston Rockets game. And there's a lot of small talk. There's a lot of chatter out there between players, particularly veteran players and veteran officials. And I would say, Villain, I want you to hear me. Any cheap, if you look at somebody's groin region, I'll throw you out of here. Okay? So we start the game. As a matter of fact, during the last strains of the anthem, I would go, "Hey, Villain, I'm giving you one now."
That's the final word. It's Will Bonds. Let's take one last break. Still to come, could Rafael Nadal return at the Australian Open? Really?
That'd be pretty good.
Really?
Who has the edge in tonight's game two between the Liberty and Aces? I would like to be at that. I would like to be at that series, particularly Vegas. I don't want to be in Brooklyn. I don't want to be in that arena. That arena is nothing.
No, that's I-90.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 42nd birthday, Mike Norvell. The Florida State football coach is now in his fourth season after coming from Memphis, where he was 38-16 and 12-2 in his getaway year. Norvell started 3-6 at FSU, followed by 5-7 and 10-3. That's steady improvement. Now he's got the Seminoles at 5-0 and ranked fourth in the country. They beat LSU at a neutral site. They beat Clemson at Clemson. But they had close calls with Boston College and Virginia Tech. FSU was one of three unbeaten teams in the ACC, alongside North Carolina and Louisville. But FSU won't get a shot at either until the conference championship game. FSU is averaging 42.4 points a game. That's sixth best in D1.
I guess I watched too much of those games against Boston College and Virginia Tech. Norvell does a great job, Tony. I mean, all you can ask to do is win all the games and be as highly ranked as you can be. But do I think they're a great team, Florida State? No. There is no great team. That just is not one, and they're one of them that's not.
Happy anniversary, Justin Verlander. On this day 11 years ago, pitching for the Tigers, Verlander threw a complete game shutout in an elimination playoff game against Oakland. He allowed 4 hits. He struck out 11. Verlander's 22 strikeouts in that series was then the ALDS record. Now 40, Verlander started game one of this ALDS last Saturday against Minnesota. He pitched 6 scoreless innings, striking out 6 in the Astros' 6-4 victory. As people know, Verlander went back to the Astros at the trade deadline when the Mets held a rummage sale. Verlander's combined season numbers this year, 13-8 with a 3.22 ERA. And we all root to see him pitch against Max Scherzer in the ALCS.
I don't know that we all root for that, but I could do without an all-Texas series. I root for Dusty Baker. So whoever Dusty's tag teamed with, Justin Verlander, that's who by default I'm rooting for. But yes, Tony, in all seriousness, I would love to see those two go against each other. Wearing different jerseys if I had my way, but I get it.
And we would like to play Kinlock with Justin Verlander.
That's right, I would.
And now we want to thank Barry Melrose for his many years of helping these two dopes, me and Wilbon, be smarter about hockey. Melrose announced his retirement from ESPN yesterday in order to focus on his health following a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Barry played in the NHL and WHA as a defenseman before coaching Wayne Gretzky and the Kings to the Stanley Cup Final in 1993. And we've been so lucky to have him as an analyst on this show for years. Here's how a typical segment would go. I would ask him something stupid about the Capitals. Wilbon would ask him something fan-like about the Blackhawks. And then Barry would broaden our horizons by talking about other teams and players. Who knew? Barry made us smarter. He made our show better. Always thoughtful, pointed, and stylish. We thank Barry. We love Barry. And we wish him the best.
We do, Tony. And, you know, I've gone to my fair share of Stanley Cup final games over the past, 13, 14 years to see the Blackhawks. And it was great when Barry was there and he and Steve Levy, you know, I'd try to go and just sort of pal around and be in their glow. And occasionally they would come to NBA games because you're in all that, those final and finals games in the spring. And it was just great company to be with Barry, particularly during Stanley Cup time.
And by stylish, we're talking about the fact that he had the first mullet. We like that. Let's go to the big finish. The NCAA's disciplinary arm gave Kansas Hoops 3 years probation, plus punishment served for infractions. And the case is closed. Your thoughts?
I don't know that there were any infractions. I don't know that there was any punishment. This whole thing's a waste of time. Wasted our time. Birmingham City hired former D.C. United coach Wayne Rooney. You okay with that?
Yeah, I think this was in the works. I think this is why Rooney missed the last practice with D.C. United. Good for
him. Sale of Bethesda. Yeah.
The Chicago Sky finalizing a deal to make Teresa Weatherspoon their new head coach. Does that make sense to you, Mr. Chicago?
Yes, she's the first choice. It's good that our franchise, is getting Teresa Weatherspoon. Yes. The Australian Open announced that Rafael Nadal will play, but his personal team says it won't confirm. What?
I'm sort of excited about it. I'm apprehensive, too. His body's taken a lot of wear. Last one, WNBA Finals Game 2 tonight. Who you got, Liberty or Aces?
If this is going to be the series we want it to be, Liberty got to tie this thing up 1-1, Tony. Aces get out 2-0. It's going to be over quick.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Mike Schroeder, shout out.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
PTI.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.